हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So continuing with the Bhagavad Gita, Sanat Krishna showed his universal form. As Sanjaya repeated Krishna's words to Dhritarashtra, the king heard about the science of Bhakti Yoga, or devotional service. Krishna first explained that there were two classes of transcendentalists, those who worship the unmanifested Supreme Brahman, the eternal spiritual energy that is the basis of all existence, and those who worship Krishna's personal form, right? So you have those who just see God as absolute, how he expands through everything, how, you know, his potencies are, you know, pervading everything, how everything's based on this. So there's the impersonal feature. And then you have the others, that the personal feature, right? And then you see is that it'll go on to describe how that personal feature has one aspect, and then the personal feature has two features, you know, as I said, as Vishnu in his original form, as Krishna. And you see the impersonal, it just has that one aspect because it's unchanging, so there is no variety within it. Of the two, he who fixes his mind on my personal form, worshiping with faith and love, is considered the most perfect. For the other class, advancement in spiritual life is difficult, although they too will finally come to the point of worshiping me, when their realization matures. Because if you're focusing on something that doesn't have a form, doesn't have this, any activities, anything, right? Very hard, because the mind, by nature, it accepts and rejects things. The intelligence tells the difference between things and the similarity. But here, it's just nothing. So therefore then, it just doesn't have any of those features. So then, how will the mind fix on that? So it says it's very difficult. But what in their maturity, at some point, after many times, as Shastra says, you know, hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of lifetimes, eventually they may come in contact with someone who can tell them about the personal feature, and then they too, then now seeing the logic of that and the naturalness of it, then take up the process. Indeed, O Arjuna, I am the basis and origin of the impersonal Brahman. So you talk about the Brahman, but it's still coming from a person, just like sun rays are coming from the sun itself. So the sunshine is coming from the sun. So you don't have the sunshine without the sun. Just some people don't know about the sun, right? But the point is, it's just like you have the sun is shining, but there's a cloud. So you just see the light, the sunshine, but you don't see the sun itself. And so then, but when that cloud is removed, then you can actually see. So by the grace of the Vaishnavas and the, you know, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then this can be revealed. Krishna reveals himself. Therefore, worship me alone. I swiftly deliver my devoted worshippers from the fearful ocean of birth and death. They then live with me in perfect happiness eternally. Krishna then explained how to approach the practice of Bhakti Yoga by the gradual method. After describing the qualities found in the consummate practitioner of bhakti, he spoke about the material nature and consciousness through descriptions of the knower, knowledge, and the objects of knowledge. Krishna explained in detail how he pervaded the material energy and how he was supersoul in every living being. He thus assured Arjuna of his complete ability to protect and deliver his worshippers. But you have knower, knowledge, and the known. But you who are knowing something, there's what is known, but there's the knowledge gained. I can be a knower, but what I know is knowledge of the known. Right? So that's the thing, is that Krishna is all these features. Right? And then we as the soul, we can be observe this. Why? Because he is the one who is everything, knows everything. So he is the observer. He is what is observed. He is the knowledge. And then if we connect to him in devotion, then that can be known. But the point is the important point is that he then, having pervaded everything and he being what is seen in everything, you know, that's important, then that actually, then it takes you back to that person. So therefore, if you take shelter of that person, then at all times, all places, all circumstances, then one will be protected from material energy. From Krishna's instructions, Arjuna could understand that the living being is the cause of his own happiness and distress. By initially desiring to turn away from God, he is placed in the material energy. Then, by associating with the various aspects of nature, he becomes more and more entangled, being attracted to various forms of material enjoyment. He is thus obliged to take birth in various species of life. All the while, the Supersoul accompanies him as the witness of all his actions. The Lord is the overseer and sanctioner of the living entity's activities. If the living entity turns again towards the Lord, he can at once become free from matter. Because what you're seeing is the Lord, but you're seeing it without his connection with the Lord. Because it said, in his impersonal feature, he is pervading everything, but that pervading element, that Brahman aspect, is dependent on the Lord. So if you see whatever you're seeing, you see it in the context of the Lord, it takes you back to the person from whom everything is expanded. Krishna continued, those who can see the difference between the body and the soul, and who can see the Supersoul, are eligible to approach the supreme spiritual abode. Such persons will not become degraded in this world, even though engaged in action. Right, so when you can see there's myself as the soul, there's the body that I'm inhabiting, and there's the Supersoul, the Supreme Lord who's living also in the body, then you will not be entangled in the material nature, because you see, if I'm not the body, I as the soul, if I do activities in connection with the Supersoul, then I will be transcendental. But if I identify with the body and do things with the body, not connected with the Lord, then I'm dealing with the Lord's energy without the Lord, and so that's an illusion. Therefore, then you become entangled. But when you deal with the Lord's energy in context of the Lord, you see it's His and use it in His service, then one doesn't become entangled. Arjuna was curious to know how the soul first came into the clutches of matter. Krishna explained it in full. By this knowledge, one would be able to extract himself from the material energy. Because if you know how you fell in, you could just reverse that and you get out. Arjuna inquired as to what were the qualities of a person who had achieved complete freedom from material bondage. And Krishna gave him a detailed description. It means someone who is transcendentally situated, how do they deal? How would they go about moving through in this body through the material energy and always seeing everything in connection with the Lord? He concluded by saying, he who engages in full devotional service to me, unfailing in all circumstances, is at once freed from the material energy and raised to the transcendental platform. So that's the important point. If you see how it connects to Krishna, then you naturally are transcendental. Because the Lord is transcendental, everything emanating from him is him. If you see all that in connection with him, then you, as a part and parcel of him, will be on the transcendental plane. But if you identify with the material energy that expanded from the Lord, without seeing its context of the Lord, you become bound up by the material energy. Arjuna understood that freedom from matter did not mean leaving the material world altogether. It means leaving material consciousness. It simply meant being freed from attraction and attachment to material things and working only for the pleasure of the Lord. Because I'm working for myself, then it's mine, and I can get a benefit. But the benefit is coming to the body. I identify with the body, so I think I'm getting benefit. But since the soul is not the body, the soul can't get any benefit, therefore we're dissatisfied. Therefore we keep trying different things, hoping one day to find that thing that will give us satisfaction. But when you connect everything to the Lord, then using it in connection with pleasing the Lord, that interaction, then the soul becomes satisfied. Working only for the pleasure of the Lord. In this mood, Arjuna should fight. Krishna had clearly elaborated on his initial instruction to Arjuna to fight without material attachment. Right, so this theme comes up again and again throughout the whole work. He always is saying that you perform your duty without attachment, with knowledge for the pleasure of Krishna, and devoted to Krishna like this. So as he goes and he's explaining the various points that are there. What is knowledge? What is detachment? What is work? Who is the Lord? What is devotion? What is meditating on the Lord? What is his satisfaction? Then he again will summarize that all back up to show how it's still coming to the same point. So he says right in the beginning this point. Then because that one statement covers all the philosophy, Therefore, as he explains it, then he'll show this aspect is better explained. So you see it in connection with the Lord, then this aspect. Having told Arjuna about the auspicious path of bhakti yoga and the qualities of a person on that path, Krishna went on to describe atheistic persons who go further and further away from God. Such persons are absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige. They are driven by lust and greed, and they believe that satisfying their senses is the prime necessity of life. Perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, they became strongly attached to material pleasures and fall down into hell. They then attain birth in all kinds of low and abominable species as a result of their own sinful desires, right? So according to what you do, because you identify with the body, what activities you do in that identification can either be recommended and pious or not recommended and impious. You perform pious, then the quality of your material position gets better, and if you don't, it gets worse. But even if it gets better, it's just a matter of time before it comes around, gets worse, and it gets worse, it's just a matter of time before it gets better. So only the devotee can step out of that because they identify everything in connection with Krishna. They don't identify with the body. Therefore, they can get transcendental to the cycle of samsara. Those who disregard scriptural injunctions and act whimsically achieve in the end only misery. Krishna concluded, right, so if you just think, no, I can do whatever you want, you can, but you'll get the reaction for whatever it is you want. And it won't be, and we're not the ones that set the rules. I mean, it's very obvious. We're in a world where even you say, oh, it's all science and everything and technology, but that science has to follow the laws of nature. The technology has to follow the laws of nature. Man never controls the laws of nature. You can act according to, you can never control them. So the point is that if you act whimsically without the scriptural injunctions, then you'll just get trouble. Because the scriptural injunctions are telling you how to act in connection with those laws. Because we only observe those laws that we think are important. Things that we don't think are important, we don't observe. But it doesn't mean that we don't get the reaction for not following, you know, the correct behavior. Krishna concluded his instructions to Arjuna by describing how a person could work in the spirit of renunciation. In that mood, O Arjuna, fight. One who is not motivated by the false ego of thinking himself to be the body, whose intelligence is not entangled in material calculations of profit and loss, even though he kills men in this world, does not actually kill, because you're not killing the soul. Your body, which is dead matter, is killing their body, which is dead matter. Right? And so, therefore, the soul doesn't get affected. Right? It means if they identify with the body, they feel bad. But they're not actually affected. The soul just goes on. So he's pointing out is that as a kshatriya, and since he's going to be fighting, because he's talking in the context of his duty, but the principle goes on. It's ours. Let's say we're doing business and making money. But the point is identifying with that money only gives you trouble. When you don't identify as the business, but you properly perform the duties of the business without attachment, you'll get your profit. You know, you can apply it anywhere. So here in this context, they show, so he is a kshatriya, then he's going to fight as a soldier. That's what goes on at battlefields. And so then, from that context, in that mood, so he's not looking at, what am I going to gain or lose here? No, it's my duty. Like in the beginning of the Gita, he's looking at, what is going to be my gain? If I fight, you know, then yes, our prestige. Then he gets there and says, oh, if I fight, then all my relatives, oh, then I get lost. And so he simply looked like this. So then, so that person who sees in that method is not bound by his actions. On the other hand, he chooses not to kill based on his material calculations, is motivated only by false ego, and becomes bound by sinful reactions, because he is a kshatriya who's supposed to fight. If he doesn't fight, he gets a reaction for not performing his duty. Krishna nodded. He understood. His hesitation to fight was born of ignorance. All his considerations had been selfish. Seeing his beloved relatives before him, he had forgotten his true spiritual nature and allowed himself to be influenced by mundane sentiment. Because we saw, it's not that they haven't gone to full effort to try to avoid this fight, but Duryodhana is very, very determined on this fight, because he thinks that the fight, either they'll just run away and go back to the forest, or he has such a big army, within a very, you know, a few moments, they'll just destroy them and all the rest of them will run back off into the forest. So they tried. Now Krishna had awakened his higher intelligence. He and all these kings on the battlefield were all eternal servants of God. Their highest duty was to render loving service to the Lord. That very Lord was now standing before Arjuna and asking him to fight. By acting according to Krishna's instructions, he would achieve perfection, becoming free from material bondage and attain the eternal spiritual abode. Seeing that Arjuna had understood his instructions, Krishna said, "Because you are my very dear friend, I have fully explained to you all spiritual knowledge. Deliberate on it fully and do what you wish to do. My final advice is that you simply surrender to me and act for my pleasure. That this is the supreme morality." Right? So when you're talking about morality, morality means, you know, what are the correct things to do or what things to avoid. So the supreme morality is everything seen in context of the Lord, as the Lord gives the directions. Like that. So then when you're acting to please Krishna, that's the highest morality, right? There's no need to consider any other process of yoga or religion. Because all other aspects of religion, they're there just to bring you to this point. So all these can be seen in that context. So all the religious aspects can be used in service of the Lord. But using them without the context of the Lord doesn't mean that you'll get the Lord. Only when religion is used in the context of the Lord do you get. If you act in this way, I will always protect you from sinful reactions. Do not fear. Krishna looked at Arjuna sitting at his feet. Tell me then, O son of Kunti, have you heard everything attentively? Is your illusion dispelled? Right? So he mentioned before, God gives everyone their opportunity to do as they like. But the point is the material energy will give you reaction because it is his energy. Energy works in a particular way. You work against that, you'll have a problem. You work with it, it works nicely. And so it's your choice. And so now he's asking, have you done that? Okay. Arjuna stood up in the chariot and took hold of the Gandiva. My dear Krishna, my illusion is gone. And by your mercy, I've regained my memory. I am now firm and free from doubt. I shall act according to your divine instructions. Right, so Arjuna, hearing this, said, yes, this is right. And now I will fight, you know, with the appropriate consciousness. Right, so next we'll see then what Dhritarashtra has to say about this, and then the war begins. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.